Not going to lie, I just have to watch those videos, because just standing up here for a solid 3 minutes while a video is playing, there's nothing more awkward in the world. But I just read one thing in that video. It said the lights are all down. No. After New Year's Day, they start to come down. I got November 1st to January 1st. That's Christmas season, all right? So Christmas tree's still up. We're still festive over at the Bicknell household. But I hope you guys had a great Christmas and Christmas Eve. I know for us it was fantastic. We have way too many toys in our house now for Isaac. I think our living room is just filled to the rim with boxes and toys and games, and I don't even know what to do with them anymore. So it was a blast. It was a great time. But I hope you guys all had a good time with family and friends and eating food and you know, just had a great Christmas. So we are so excited to have you guys here with us this morning again. But over the course of the next few weeks, we will be, again, going through the vision of our church for our sermon series. Starting, you know, next week, we'll be going through our vision here, which is reach the world with the gospel, gather together with the saints, grow in the word. It's our biannual. We do it twice a year, you know, January and around that August, September time, just to make sure that we, as a body here, as a body of the church, as the river, to know what our focus is. What is our bullseye? What are we striving for? And over the course of the next few weeks, we'll be going through those sort of things for us as a church to be focused again on what that vision is. But this week, before we dive into that, I get the choice to preach on whatever I want, which is both great and bad. Because when you look at the ocean of the Bible and just say, choose one thing, that is like the hardest thing ever to do. And I won't lie, I did contemplate. I love Romans 9, and unfortunately, we were in a hospital, so I couldn't preach Romans 9. We had our baby. I shouldn't say unfortunately. We were so glad to have our baby, but he stopped me from preaching Romans 9. I almost did it, but I was like, you know what? We did enough Romans. I won't make you guys go through that again. But this week, I think something that has been on my heart that I want to share with you guys, and I think it'll really help us as we get ready to dive into our vision series next month, is I wanted to preach on what a true biblical shepherd is. What is a pastor supposed to be? What does the Bible command pastors to do as they fulfill their calling given from God? And specifically, what am I called to be for you as the pastor here in Walled Lake? Now, this is, again, an interesting one because I'm now giving you what my job description is, so you can really be on me now, all right? Got to make sure I work more than just on Sundays. But it's really important for us to know what a shepherd is supposed to be. And for some of you, this doesn't just mean for here in Walled Lake, because I know that this isn't going to be your only church. You may just be visiting us for a week. The Lord may move you to a different state next month, and you then have to begin to search for a church. It is very important for us to know what a pastor is, to know what kind of church should we be at. And so my hope for this message is to show you what a shepherd is supposed to do and what a pastor is supposed to be, how a pastor and a shepherd is meant to lead the body of Christ. And then for me, to guide you in the direction that our location needs to go in if we want to see us grow both numerically and, more importantly, spiritually as a body of Christ. So let's pray, and then we will dive into the word this morning. Lord, we love you. And just thank you so much again for this opportunity to preach your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak through me right now, that it would be your words and your thoughts that you want us to hear. And I pray for all the hearts in here that you'd help make us open and receptive to what you want us to hear and leave us here worshiping you and glorifying you more. So God, we love you so much, and we pray this all in the very precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. If you have your Bible with you, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 5. And again, just want to reiterate how important it is to have a Bible. So if you don't have one, we have plenty of guest services. Would love for you to have one, take it home, study it. But as I open the word, would love for you to be in the word as well. So 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to be starting in verse 1. And it says this: "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ,
as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. So the author of this letter is Peter, and this is the Peter that followed Jesus around for the 3.5 years that he was doing ministry on earth. The disciple Peter, who then became an apostle, early church father, one of the founding pillars of the Christian faith. This is Peter now writing to the pastors for this letter. And I think this is so unique of a passage that he writes to his shepherds, because he doesn't start off with, hey, I'm an apostle, listen to me. Hey, I've witnessed all these things of Christ. I walked with Jesus. You better listen to me for these commands I'm going to give. But rather, he says, as a fellow elder, as a shepherd that is shepherding with you, right? I am doing this role, and I am taking it that seriously. He is writing for his heart here of what pastors are supposed to be, because he's living it out. Now, in the New Testament, there are a few words that are interchangeable as we start to talk about pastors. You'll see things like the word pastor. You'll see elder as it's used here in 1 Peter 5. You'll see overseer, bishop, shepherd. These are all words that are essentially interchangeable to mean the same thing. It is the office of the man who is supposed to lead the flock of God, who's meant to guide, direct, rebuke, help shepherd the flock of God. As we study through some of the other pastoral epistles that we see in the Bible, those are the books of the Bible that are geared specifically for pastors. You'll see Titus talk about the qualifications of an overseer. You'll see 1 Timothy speak again of elders. You'll see Ephesians bring up how God has given the church pastors to build up the body of Christ for the work of the ministry. So we see all these sorts of words that are used interchangeably within the New Testament. And now this is very important to start with as we talk about what a pastor is supposed to be, because Peter is giving us the structure of who is meant to lead the church. You see, when Jesus went to the cross, died for our sins, was buried and rose again, and ascended to heaven, God didn't just say, good luck, figure out how to run the church. He didn't just say, hey, you know what, you have the gospel, now figure it out and run it however you want to. God, through the inspiration of the scriptures and the apostles, gave us what the structure of the church is supposed to be. What is the body of Christ meant to do as it functions as a church? Who's the leader? Do we submit to that leader? What is that leader supposed to do? We see this sort of idea brought up in Titus 1:5, where Paul is writing to Titus and he says, this is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. So he's writing to Titus, hey, I'm putting you in this place. There are people who have been saved. They've heard the gospel and their life has been changed forever, right? That truth for all of us when we've seen Jesus for as beautiful as he is, as glorious he is, as our Savior. It's happened to these people. The gospel has been preached to them. People have evangelized to them. And now Paul sees these people need structure. They need a leader to be able to guide them and shepherd them the way that a shepherd is supposed to do it. So he tells Titus, place these elders in every town as I directed you. And he gives the qualifications there, and we're not going to dive into that because we don't have all day to be able to dive through everything of a pastor in the scriptures. But he shows us here that the church is supposed to have a structure. And I don't believe, as we look at the Bible and as we study what pastors and elders are supposed to do, I don't believe the church is meant to be structured like a business, like many American churches are today, where you got your boards and your CEOs and your CFOs, and the CEO is this high and lofty person that never really talks with the people of the company, and they give the commands and direct people and just do what I say, follow me, and that's all that matters. I don't think that's how the Holy Spirit, through the inspiration of the scriptures, tells us to structure the church. And yet, I think, sadly, we are seeing so many churches behave like this. So many churches structured like this, where there's not a plurality of elders, there's not a shepherd leading the flock. It's more of a business. You have the board, and then the congregation votes on things, and then the shepherd then maybe does some of that stuff, and there's this battle between how the church is supposed to be run. I believe God says here, appoint the elders in every time as I direct you to guide and lead the church, to set up this structure. But then Peter continues on in 1 Peter 5. He goes on to say the entire point of what a pastor is supposed to be. What is this pastor supposed to do? And I think that's a very, very important question because there are so many different thoughts. The pastor does everything in the church. He's a part of every ministry, cleans up the building all the time. He's always there. That's what the pastor does. Or the pastor does nothing and he just comes and gives us a talk on Sundays and that's about it and we never talk to him. But what's a pastor supposed to do? He says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. The first command that Peter gives here, he says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. And now I love this word shepherd. I think it's so amazing. Because when I read that, especially as a pastor, it calls my mind to what the Lord does for us. It calls my mind to how God is our great shepherd. And it makes me think of that beautiful psalm, Psalm 23. Right? You read the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And as you go through that psalm, he talks about how the Lord, as our great shepherd, leads us to green pastures, guides us to clear waters, is always there for us no matter what we're going through. Even when we are in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because my great shepherd is with me. And then it says the shepherd disciplines with the rod. He guides with the staff. And so as we read these words shepherd, it just makes me think about how God shepherds us. And now there's a book that I read before I came here to Walled Lake. I was wanting to read up on just like, what's a pastor supposed to do? What are some things? I need to know a lot of stuff because this is going to be a new task for me. And in the book, I thought it was so great. The pastor calls himself an under-shepherd. He says, I am an under-shepherd to the great shepherd. Right, he's not the ultimate shepherd. He's not the one that is supposed to be here in Psalms 23, but he is following what the great shepherd does for us, trying to follow Christ's example. As Christ led, we as pastors are meant to lead, serving, loving, caring, giving our life for the flock. And as under-shepherds, we are meant to care for the sheep the way that the great shepherd does. That's the example that shepherds get. That's the example that pastors, elders, bishops, overseers get. You need to follow the example as Christ set for us. Paul talks about this as well in Acts 20, 28, where he says, this is where Paul is about to be sent off to Rome. He knows he's going to Rome, and there he says to the pastors and elders in this chapter, he says, I know what awaits for me. Imprisonment and affliction. He says, the Holy Spirit testified to me that I'm going to experience these things. And so this is the last time that he's talking to these men. He's talking to these pastors that have been with him, that have cared for him, that have loved him. It's a heartfelt chapter. I would encourage you to go read through Acts chapter 20. But as he's getting to the end of talking to them, he says this, pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock. So right there first, as a shepherd, and I know for me, that speaks a lot to me of, I can't shepherd you if I'm not taking care of myself. I can't shepherd properly if I'm not first going to the Lord every single day, making sure that I'm watching myself first and foremost, right? And so as you're looking for churches, if you end up getting moved to a different city or town, look for a shepherd that cares for his own soul first. But then he says, to pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his blood. What I think is so great about this verse, and really hits me hard as I think about you guys, that when the Lord calls pastors to shepherd, He's not calling them to just run a business. He's not calling people just gain fame and money and riches and all these sort of things to be the CEO of a church. He is calling men, pastors, to care for the flock of God, to shepherd the flock of God. And he says to care for those in which he obtained with his blood. Now that hits me hard, because the people that I'm caring for, us in here, if you have followed Jesus and given him your life, if you've put your faith in the gospel, it means Jesus has bought you with his blood. Jesus obtained you by going to the cross and being beaten, scourged, bloodied, bruised, taking the wrath of God upon himself so that you could be saved, poured out. Right, as we did communion a few weeks ago, his body was broken for us. Blood poured out for us. While we were sinners, while we rebelled against him, gave us salvation freely as a gift of grace if we would receive it by faith. Purchased you with his blood. Romans says, right, you were bought with a price, so glorify God with your bodies. This great saying that he obtained us with his blood, this flock is now entrusted to me. Flocks of God are entrusted to pastors. That's heavy for me when I think about that, when I think about other pastors. That the people that Christ bought with his blood are entrusted to the pastors and the shepherds. We even read through in other parts of the New Testament where the body of Christ is described as the bride of Christ. The people of God are his bride. And that makes me think, I think I heard a pastor say that we as pastors have been entrusted with another man's bride. And we need to make sure that we take care of that bride very, very well. Because it makes me think of my bride, entrusting her. And I think about how jealous I can get as a husband. I had a funny thing that happened to us this week. You know, we had date night. Trying to be a good husband, taking her out to dinner, nice movie. So, you know, I bought the tickets online, go to the scan thing where you want to scan your tickets, get your tickets going to the movie. It was great. And I heard behind me some guy, like, say something to her. And my mind went, is he hitting on my wife right now? What's going on? I turned around, I gave them both a look. I'm like, what's happening here? Am I going to get in trouble? Am I going to call Jason or something right now? Like, what's going on? And she goes, no, he just asked me if I was in line. But me as husband, I was like, that's my wife. You're not gonna hit on my wife in front of me. No way, right? I know how jealous I can get. Man, I know the Lord's jealousy, and that's a holy jealousy, where he is jealous for his people, his name, his glory, his worship. And so as pastors, to then take that flippantly, to not care for the flock the way you're supposed to and shepherd the flock the way you're supposed to, that's Jesus' bride, the body of Christ. It's a heavy, heavy thing. He has made me an overseer of his bride. So as a pastor, as a shepherd, I meant to care and lead the flock of God. Now, how does this shepherding happen? Right, so we know that he has given a structure. He's given elders and pastors to lead the church. They are meant to care for the flock of God. They are meant to shepherd the flock of God. How does that happen? So 1 Peter 5, it keeps saying, right? Exercise oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. He says, after he says, shepherd the flock of God, he says, exercise oversight. Now, I think this is the command, this description of what a pastor is supposed to do. This is the part that I think is completely misunderstood today with many, many pastors. They miss this, or they don't understand what this is truly saying. Because in this day and age of mega churches, and social media influencers and pastors on podcasts, where that's all that they do, this Western world, it's no longer about shepherding the flock of God, caring for Christ's bride, exercising oversight the way the Bible commands us to. It's all about how can I, as a pastor, get the most people listening to me? How can I make sure my face is for the whole world to see? It's all about me, my glory, my worship. How can I become a celebrity pastor and get noticed and get glory, money? How can I feed my lustful addiction? That's what it turns into for so many pastors, and it is so, so sad. And I truly believe because pastors have gotten off the focus of what they are supposed to do, how they are meant to shepherd and to exercise oversight, it's why we've seen so many pastors crash and burn. I mean, go on the Gospel Coalition or Instagram, whatever it is. It's almost like every week there is some pastor that has fallen into moral failure, that has crashed and burned, that has ruined their life because they lost focus of what they were called to do. They didn't keep watch over themselves, as Paul said in Acts 20. And they didn't focus on how the bride of Christ has been entrusted to pastors. When these other things become the focus, the fame, the notoriety, the greed, the girls, all this, when it becomes the focus, that's when we see pastors fall. And that's when we truly see real church hurt. When we see the sheep and the flock that get hurt because of what a pastor's done. And now as I say that, I really don't need to dive into examples, because you would be hard-pressed to find a Christian in this country that has not been hurt by a pastor at one point in their life. Think of myself. There's 6 years ago, I don't even got to say a name, in Waterford, the pastor fell into moral sin. And I saw the hurt that it caused the church. And I was on staff at the time. And it took years for the church to heal from that. People still reeling from the pain of seeing the man that they trusted, that was meant to shepherd them, hurt them in this way. Getting to know some of you these last 6 months and the pain that happened 2.5 years ago. Or even think about the deeper history of Walled Lake, talking to some of you who have been here for so long, and some of the other moral failures we've seen in pastors, and the hurt that that's caused. And the sad thing, I mean, that's just sin, right? It doesn't ever just affect you. It's never just the one person. It always hurts someone else. And what's happened is it's caused people all throughout the world, when pastors do this, they lose trust in pastors, they lose trust in church, and that's why many people, they stop going. They stop coming to the gathering, and their walk with the Lord is hurt by it, because they've been hurt, because a pastor didn't shepherd the way they were supposed to, because they didn't exercise oversight the way they were supposed to. It was no longer about eagerness to love Christ's bride. It was about shameful gain. It was no longer about, you know, giving your life for the flock. It was about being domineering and taking that power. It was about manipulating people and abusing people. And in turn, it just hurts a body. It doesn't just hurt individual people. It hurts a flock. So how then is a pastor meant to exercise this oversight? How is a pastor meant to lead? First and foremost, the most important way a pastor is meant to exercise oversight for the flock is through biblical, Bible-saturated preaching. We don't got to go any further for a more important thing for a pastor than the preaching of the word. And that's another thing in the American church that's being lost. Right, the gatherings need to be shorter. People can't focus on preaching, so don't focus on the preaching. It's about events. It's about how you can get people in the church. This is important, but that's not the commands of the Bible. And just reading through a couple of sections in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, We read this as Paul is charging Timothy. He says, command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth. But set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. In his second letter to Timothy, he says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. As I said, if this probably isn't your last church, the Lord may call you somewhere else. If you are looking for a church, if they're not doing this, leave. If the pastor's not preaching the word of God in its entirety, the whole counsel of the word of God, leave that church, because it's not a church. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Isn't it amazing how the Bible can be written 2,000 years ago and still have relevance for us today? He's writing to Timothy. He says, the time is coming soon when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they're going to accumulate for themselves whatever they want to hear. How many people are we seeing that today? Why do we think false teachers, prosperity gospel teachers, legalist teachers, their congregations are so full? Because people just want to hear what they want to hear. And sadly, men are leaving the Bible. They're leaving what the word tells us to do. And they're just giving people that something that will itch their ears to suit their own passions. And they'll turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. That's why the preaching of the word is the pastor's main goal. Because as sheep, as the flock of God, it is so easy for us to be led astray. It's so easy for us in our walk to lose sight of what the Bible tells us to do. Because the Bible gives us clear instructions for how to follow God. It's not a suggestion book. It's not something that you can do only if you feel like doing it or follow the things in the Bible that you agree with. But the things you don't agree with, go ahead and throw it out the window. That's not what the Word of God is. It's not follow this if you want to know if you want to maybe have a better life. No, it's follow this if you want to truly follow God. And the direction that the church, the body of Christ, needs to go in is in the direction of the Bible. That means our personal lives, our corporate worship, our ministries, our events, our growth communities, our giving, everything that we do here needs to be in line with the Word of God. And the way we get that direction, that correction, that reproving, that rebuking, comes from the preaching of the word. This is essential to the health of the body. You want to see a spiritually healthy church? See how Bible-saturated their preaching is. If you want to see a church that is not just numerically big, because numbers don't really mean anything. There can be a church of 2,000 people and have nothing of substance. But if you want to see a church that is spiritually healthy, where they are united, where they're fighting for peace, where they welcome lost people, where they love one another, where they care for one another, the way you will get that is through true biblical Bible preaching. And again, the reason why we see so many churches going off the rails, refusing to acknowledge sin as sin, whatever it may be. Well, because the culture is changing. People don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear they're already sinners. They don't want to hear that the lifestyle they're choosing to live in is sin. Why we see pastoral abuse. where the pastor is some sort of king within a building. Why we see judgmental, unloving congregations that refuse to welcome anybody. Again, why we see pastors falling into moral failure. It's because the focus has shifted from Bible preaching. And it's not just coming up on stage and preaching the Bible, but when a pastor is truly preaching the Bible, that means in his study, in the time when people aren't around, when it's just him and the Lord, he's studying the scriptures, diving into the scriptures, make sure he knows the scriptures. You will see that reflected in his preaching and in his life. John MacArthur, who passed away recently, amazing pastor, he said when he looked at his ministry, he said, all I want to do is take care of the depth of my ministry, and the Lord will take care of whatever the breadth is. However wide that gets to, however many people that gets to, that's the Lord's business. But what he was going to do is he was going to focus on the scriptures, because that's how God, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has commanded pastors to exercise that oversight. And so as we keep that analogy as a shepherd, the green grass that a shepherd is meant to lead his flock to, those clear waters that he's meant to lead his flock to, is the word of God. To grow you, to sustain you, to correct you, to build you up on the foundation of the gospel. It is the word of God. Psalms 19, 7 through 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. This is what the word of God is. It's everything that we need to truly follow the Lord. And this is where I need to lead you to. This is where a pastor is meant to lead his flock to. It is that important. Even the apostles acknowledged that this was their main ministry. As you read through Acts, and the church is exploding. The Holy Spirit is moving in such power. By the thousands, people are being saved, and they're realizing we need this structure. We need to figure out how to handle all of this. They say in Acts 6:2, and the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And that's not to say serving's not important. They weren't saying that these people didn't need to be cared for or that serving tables wasn't important. But as the leaders of the church, as the pastors, as the elders, and for them as the apostles, their main ministry was preaching the word of God. It's why we have deacons set up. And that's why the pastors are meant to equip the body for the work of the ministry. It's what Ephesians 4 says. He says he gives the pastors and apostles and the prophets and the overseers to equip the body for the work of the ministry. If we don't have true grounded in the Bible preaching, then we will cease to be the body of Christ as the Bible calls us to be. It is that important to have that preaching. Now, why is this important? I hope you know that I didn't want to just give this sermon so that I can tell you that all I'll be doing moving forward is preaching. I still plan on talking to you guys and meeting with you and doing all these things that I love to do. I love serving. I love being with you. I didn't want to just say this so like, you know what, Sunday morning is all I'm doing is this sermon, and good luck. You're never going to talk to me again. But I know, as I said, this won't be the only church you attend. You may just be here for a season or for one time. You may be going to find a church in a different city. And as well, I want you to know what to expect of me as your pastor. But you should be looking for Bible preaching pastors who serve the body as Christ did, who do it eagerly, not domineering, who don't do it for shameful gain, who aren't focused on how much money they can make or the notoriety of their name, but who do it willingly because God has called them to it, who understand the seriousness of what it means to care for the bride of Christ, who understand that in James it says, not all of you should desire this office because you'll be judged more strictly, who know the weight that comes by taking the office of a pastor. And I also want you to know how important our relationship is as shepherd and as the flock. This verse in Hebrews 13, 17 has been on my heart a lot when studying through this. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. There's a dynamic here. First, for the pastors, there's that warning, and it's heavy for me. God has entrusted you to me to keep watch over your souls. And you know why that's so heavy to me? One day I'm going to stand before the Lord, and he's not going to ask me, how big were your Sunday mornings? He's not going to ask me how many people came to your trunk or treat. He's not going to ask me about the number of my congregation. He's going to say, how did you shepherd my flock? How did you care for my sheep? How did you care for the people that I bought with my blood? And I'm going to have to give an account for that one day. Of every word that I said, every sermon that I preached, everything that I did as a pastor, I'm going to have to give an account for that one day. It's heavy for me. I didn't take this role lightly. I hope you know that coming here to Walden Lake was not just so that I could climb up the ladder of some success pyramid. My wife and I, we prayerfully considered this. Is this where God wants us? Because in stepping into this role here in Walden Lake, I was stepping into being an overseer of your souls. I will give an account one day for your souls. That is heavy to me. And I want to do that willingly. I don't want to do it for greed. And I want to do it because it's that important. And it makes me think of Acts 20:24. As I do this shepherding role. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So I want to tell you, that's my heart. And that's what I hope to do for you as long as the Lord wills it. And I hope for you again, if this is your last Sunday, you're here in this building, and you go, the Lord moves you somewhere, you go to a different church, look for a pastor as the heart of these words that follows what 1 Peter 5 says and who understands that they're going to give an account one day for you. But then for you guys, obey and submit to the leaders, to the elders, to the pastors of the church. Obey to them if they are following the descriptions here that the Bible gives. And I know that may be hard for some of you. And especially here in Walled Lake, I know you've been through a lot. And it's hard to trust a pastor. But this is what God is calling us to do. And the Bible says it's to your advantage to have a biblical shepherd. And so I'm going to ask that you would pray for me as I lead you. And that you would trust me as your shepherd. That you'd obey and submit to how the River Church is set up and how the pastors lead us. We don't always have to agree. I know that's not going to happen. That's okay. But I hope there's trust. That I am leading you the way the Bible calls me to lead. And shepherding you the way Jesus has called me to shepherd you. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. And I thank you for your word, for the whole word of God, the entire counsel of God. And I pray, Lord, that as I continue to shepherd this flock, that you would strengthen me for this office. I pray for all the pastors in the River Church, that you would strengthen them as we are one church but nine locations, that you would strengthen them as they lead us and direct us and guide us. And I pray for your flock, Lord, that you would help us to trust in the leaders that you've appointed. You'd help us to submit and obey and follow. And I just pray for your flock, Lord, and I ask that you would lead them closer to you every single day. God, we love you. And praise all in the very precious name of Jesus.